Welcome to our deep dive today.
Thanks for having me.
You sent over some fascinating material about adult learning and how it applies to online training.
Yeah.
It looks like we've got research articles, some of your own notes,
right?
And even a few excerpts from a book called Adult Learning Basics.
Great book.
Clearly, you're thinking hard about how to make your online training programs really hit the mark.
Yeah, it's something we're always working on.
So let's see what we can uncover together.
Sounds good.
What jumps out at me right away is how much emphasis these sources place on the idea that adults are natural learners.
Yeah, that's a really important starting point.
It's almost like we forget that we're learning all the time.
Right.
Even outside of formal settings.
Exactly.
Adult Learning Basics even cites a study that found the average person takes on 8 major learning projects a year.
8? Wow. That's
right.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Think about that for a second.
Okay.
Whether it's figuring out a new smartphone app, tackling a DIY project around the house.
Sure.
Or even mastering a new recipe. We're constantly engaged in learning.
All the time.
Yeah. So the drive is there.
Definitely.
But then why does corporate training often feel like such an uphill battle?
That's the $1 million question, isn't it?
It is.
And I think these sources point to a key difference.
Definitely.
Adult learning, while natural, isn't always effortless. It's about connecting new information to what we already know. And even more importantly, to our real world experiences.
Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going.
Yeah.
We can't just treat adult learners like empty vessels waiting to be filled with facts and figures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Adult Learning Basics talks about a theory called constructivism.
Okay.
Which emphasizes that people build knowledge on top of existing knowledge.
Okay.
It's not about passive absorption. It's about active construction.
So if I'm understanding this correctly.
Yeah.
The key takeaway for us in HR and training is to create courses that help people make those connections.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just throw information at them.
Right.
We need to design experiences that allow them to apply that information to real-world challenges they face in their jobs.
You nailed it.
Oh, great.
And that's something we at Flagship LMS focus on intently when designing our courses.
Right.
We use real-world scenarios, simulations, and activities that allow learners to practice applying new concepts to situations they might actually encounter in their roles.
Right.
It makes the learning stick so much better.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between reading about how to ride a bike. And actually getting on one and trying to pedal.
Right.
You need both the knowledge and the experience to really master something.
Absolutely.
And speaking of the learning experience, these sources also highlight the importance of the learning climate.
Oh, absolutely.
By the learning climate, it's not just about having comfy chairs and good lighting, is it?
Definitely not.
Okay.
Adult Learning Basics is very clear on this point.
Okay.
It's about creating a sense of psychological safety and support. Think about it. If you're in a training session where you feel judged, pressured, or like you'll be ridiculed for asking a question, how open are you going to be to learning?
Probably not very open at all.
Yeah.
I'd probably just shut down and try to blend in.
Exactly. Yeah. And that goes double for online learning, where you might already feel a bit more isolated.
Sure.
A negative or unsupportive climate can completely derail the learning process.
So what are some practical tips for creating a more positive learning environment?
Okay.
Especially in an online setting.
Well, the sources provide some great guidance here.
Okay.
Clear and consistent communication is key.
Lay
out expectations up front.
Okay.
Establish clear channels for asking questions and getting help. And make sure feedback is constructive and focused on growth, not criticism.
Okay.
It's also important to foster a sense of community, even in a virtual environment.
Makes sense. People learn better when they feel connected and supported.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing I see pop up all the time in the training world is this idea of learning styles. You know, the whole visual learner, auditory learner, kinesthetic learner thing.
I know what you mean.
Do we really need to be tailoring our courses to these different styles?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a bit of a myth.
Really?
Yeah.
But I swear I learn better when I can see diagrams and visuals.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people feel that way.
Right.
But the research actually shows that tailoring to learning styles doesn't significantly improve learning outcomes.
Okay. So if learning styles aren't all they're cracked up to be.
Right.
What should we be focusing on when it comes to how people learn?
One of the key insights from these sources is the importance of how people organize knowledge.
Okay.
Think about it.
Okay.
A novice learner might organize information in a very basic list format,
yeah.
whereas an expert in that same field has built a complex web of understanding
okay.
where everything is interconnected.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So are you saying the goal is to design courses that help learners move from those basic lists
yes.
to more sophisticated webs of understanding?
Exactly. That's what leads to deeper learning,
mm-hmm.
better retention.
Right.
And ultimately, the ability to apply what's been learned in new situations.
All right. I'm following you.
Good.
So we've talked about the importance of connecting learning to real-world experience,
mm-hmm.
fostering a positive learning climate,
right,
and moving beyond the myth of learning styles.
Yes.
What other gems can we unearth from these sources?
Well, Adult Learning Basics spends a lot of time on the topic of motivation.
Oh, right, motivation.
Not just the free pizza and company swag. Kind of motivation.
Huh. Yeah, that only gets you so far.
Right.
So what does truly motivate adult learners?
The source breaks it down into a few key elements.
Okay.
First, adults need to see the value in the training.
Mm.
They need to understand how it connects to their own goals.
Okay.
Their career aspirations.
Right.
Or even just their desire to do their jobs better.
Right. So it's not enough to just tell people this training is important for the company.
Exactly.
We need to connect it to what's important for them personally.
Exactly.
Another critical factor is expectancy.
Yes.
Do people believe they can actually succeed in the training?
That's a big one.
If not, their motivation is going to plummet.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If you don't think you can do it, why even bother trying?
Precisely.
Right.
And this is where careful goal setting comes in.
Okay.
We need to make sure the training feels achievable,
hmm.
breaking it down into manageable chunks.
Okay.
And providing support along the way.
This is all starting to click now.
Good.
But even if learners are motivated and believe they can succeed,
yeah.
they're still going to need to put in the work, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that brings us to another key takeaway from how learning works.
Okay.
The importance of practice.
Okay.
It's not about practice makes perfect,
right.
but rather practice makes better.
So are you suggesting we ditch the one and done approach to online training?
Yeah. So.
And instead design programs that incorporate repeated practice and opportunities to apply the knowledge over time.
You're getting the idea.
Okay.
Think built-in quizzes, simulations,
mm.
even scenarios where learners have to explain their reasoning or apply the concepts in different contexts.
Right.
That's how you really drive mastery.
All right. I'm sold on the power of practice.
Good.
But what about feedback? Where does that fit into the equation?
Feedback is like the magic ingredient that can make or break the learning process.
Okay.
But it's often misused.
Right.
Think about the last time someone gave you generic feedback like, good job.
Mm-hmm.
Did it actually help you improve?
Not really.
Right?
I need something more specific.
Yeah.
Something that tells me what I did well, what I can improve on,
right.
and how to bridge that gap.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what adult learners crave.
Mm-hmm.
Specific, actionable feedback
okay.
that's tied to the skills and knowledge they're trying to develop.
Right.
The timing of feedback matters too.
Oh.
Feedback being too late is a missed opportunity.
So how can we make feedback more effective in our online training programs?
How learning works gives us a clear roadmap.
Okay.
Align feedback with the learning goals.
Mm-hmm.
Provide it in a timely manner.
Okay.
And make it as specific and actionable as possible.
Okay.
Think about how you can connect feedback directly to the learning objectives
mm-hmm.
and give learners clear steps to take to improve.
This has been a fantastic conversation so far.
It has.
We've covered a lot of ground. But before we dive into the next part,
yeah.
I want to highlight something that really struck me in how learning works.
Okay.
It's the idea that even as we're designing training for others,
mm-hmm.
we're also adult learners ourselves.
That's right.
And sometimes we fall into bad learning habits, too.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's easy to forget that we're always learning.
Right.
Even as experienced professionals. It's a great reminder for all of us involved in designing and delivering training.
Yeah.
We need to be lifelong learners ourselves. It's not just about keeping up with the latest trends.
Right.
It's about constantly evaluating our own approaches,
mm-hmm.
experimenting with new ideas,
yeah.
and striving to become more effective learning facilitators.
That's a powerful message.
Yeah.
So how can we become more aware of our own learning habits?
Right.
And identify areas for improvement? The sources mentioned something called metacognition.
Uh-huh.
What exactly is that?
Okay.
And how does it apply to us as learning professionals?
Metacognition is essentially thinking about your own thinking.
Okay.
It's that ability to step back and analyze your learning process, how you approach new information, what strategies you use, what works for you, and what doesn't.
So it's like becoming an observer of your own learning journey.
Exactly.
Okay.
And how learning works points out that expert learners tend to be very metacognitive. Yeah. They plan their approach to learning. Mm. They monitor their progress.
Right.
And they adjust their strategies as needed.
Okay.
They're constantly asking themselves, what am I trying to learn?
Right.
How am I going about it? Is this working? What could I do differently?
That sounds a lot more intentional than my usual approach.
Yeah.
I'm more of a jump in and see what happens kind of learner.
And that can work well for some things.
Right.
But when we're talking about complex topics or skills that require deeper understanding, a more metacognitive approach can be really beneficial.
So how can we incorporate this idea of metacognition into the online training programs we design for others?
Mm-hmm.
Can we actually encourage learners to think more deliberately about how they're learning?
Absolutely. We can actually build metacognitive prompts and activities right into our courses. For example, you could include short reflection exercises where learners have to pause and consider their learning process.
I'm picturing something like a pop-up quiz that asks, what's one thing you learned in this module?
Yeah.
How does it connect to what you already knew? What questions do you still have?
That's a great example.
Yeah.
Or you could even incorporate peer-to-peer discussions where learners have to explain their reasoning or compare their approach to a problem with someone else's.
Okay.
The key is to make metacognition an explicit part of the learning experience.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like we're giving learners the tools to become more self-aware.
Right.
And take greater ownership of their learning journey.
That's the goal. And as we help others develop their metacognitive skills, we might even discover a few things about our own learning habits along the way.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
This is reminding me of why I got into the training field in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Helping people grow and develop.
That's great.
It's not just about delivering information. Mm. It's about creating a truly transformative learning experience.
And that brings us back to the foundation of everything we're talking about today.
Right.
Adult learning theory.
Right.
It's a rich and fascinating field with so much to offer anyone involved in designing and delivering training.
So do we need to become experts in every single adult learning theory out there?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But it is helpful to have a basic understanding of the key principles that underpin effective adult learning.
Okay, let's do a quick rundown of some of the major theories.
Sure.
Just to give our listeners a taste.
Okay.
What are some of the big ones we should know about?
One that's often cited, especially when talking about adult learners, is andragogy.
Andragogy.
It basically focuses on the unique characteristics and needs of adult learners.
And what are those unique characteristics? I feel like we've been touching on them throughout our conversation today.
Exactly. Andragogy emphasizes that adults are self-directed, experienced learners who need to see relevance and value in what they're learning. They want to be actively involved in the learning process and have some control over how and what they learn.
Right. So it's not about treating adults like children in a classroom setting.
No, not at all.
It's about recognizing their experience.
Yes.
Their autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And their need for practical, applicable knowledge.
You got it.
Okay.
Andragogy also stresses the importance of creating a learning environment.
Okay.
That's respectful, supportive, and collaborative.
Which ties in nicely with our earlier conversation about the learning climate.
It does.
It's all starting to come together.
It is, isn't it? Another important theory, which complements andragogy, is self-directed learning.
Okay.
This focuses on the learner's role in setting goals, identifying resources, and evaluating their own progress.
So it's about empowering learners to take ownership of their learning journey.
That's the essence of it.
Okay.
And online learning can be a fantastic environment for fostering self-directed learning.
Yeah, I can see that.
It gives learners the flexibility to access information and resources at their own pace and in a way that suits their individual preferences.
Okay. Andragogy, self-directed learning.
Yeah.
What other theories are out there?
Well, adult learning basics also mentions experiential learning.
Okay, experiential learning.
This theory emphasizes the importance of learning by doing.
Okay.
Reflecting on those experiences, right, and then applying what you've learned to new situations.
Ah, so it's kind of like the practice makes better idea we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Experiential learning can take many forms.
Okay.
Simulations, role-playing activities, case studies, real-world projects.
Okay.
It's about getting people actively engaged in the learning process.
Right.
And providing opportunities to make mistakes, learn from them, and grow.
I'm a big believer in learning by doing.
Yeah, me too.
It just sticks so much better than passively absorbing information.
I agree.
And this is something that online learning platforms like Flagship LMS excel at.
Yeah.
Creating immersive, interactive experiences that mimic real-world scenarios and challenges.
Exactly.
Great point.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've had a whirlwind tour of some key adult learning theories.
We have.
But now I have to ask the big question.
Okay, shoot.
Is there one right way to design online training? Is there a magic formula that guarantees success?
Honestly, it's less about finding the one right theory.
Okay.
And more about finding the right approach for your specific learners, right, and your specific training goal.
So it's a bit of a mix and match situation.
In a way, yes.
Okay.
The key is to understand the principles behind the different theories.
Right.
And then apply them in a way that makes sense for your context.
Okay.
You have to consider your audience,
mm-hmm,
the content you're trying to teach,
right,
the resources you have available,
okay,
and the overall learning environment you're trying to create.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's about being thoughtful and intentional in our design choices.
Yeah.
Not just blindly following a recipe.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay, good.
And as we move into the final part of our deep dive,
okay,
we're going to explore a couple of factors that can significantly influence our design decisions. Generational differences and cultural nuances.
I'm intrigued. Those are definitely important considerations, especially in today's increasingly diverse and global workplace.
Mm.
So we've talked about the importance of understanding how adults learn.
Right.
But adult learning basics also reminds us that the audience for our training programs isn't a homogeneous blob.
Definitely not.
It's made up of individuals from different generations.
Yeah.
Each with their own unique experiences,
mm-hmm,
values.
Right.
And yes, even learning preferences.
Absolutely.
Trying to design a one-size-fits-all training program for a multi-generational workforce,
mm-hmm,
is a recipe for frustration.
It is.
For both the learners and the trainers.
For sure.
Okay, so let's break it down.
Okay.
What are some of the key things to keep in mind when designing online training for different generations? Let's start with the baby boomers.
Right.
The generation that paved the way for so many of us in the workplace.
Okay.
Baby boomers tend to be more traditional in their learning style.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
They often value structure,
mm-hmm,
clear explanations,
yeah,
and the opportunity for face-to-face interaction.
So maybe not the biggest fans of purely online learning then.
It really depends,
uh-huh,
on the individual.
Right.
And the way the training is designed,
mm-hmm,
boomers can certainly adapt to online learning environments.
Yeah.
But it's important to provide extra support and guidance.
For sure.
Think clear instructions.
Okay.
Well-organized content.
Right.
And opportunities for live Q&A sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Or even supplemental print materials for those who prefer a more tactile experience.
Those are all great ideas.
Now, what about Gen X? They're the ones sandwiched between the boomers and the millennials.
Right.
What makes them tick as learners?
Gen Xers are often described as independent.
Okay.
Skeptical.
Uh-huh.
And tech savvy. They value flexibility and autonomy in their learning experience, mm-hmm, and tend to be less impressed by bells and whistles or trendy approaches.
So they probably thrive in a self-directed online learning environment.
I could see that.
Where they can learn at their own pace.
Right.
And focus on the information that's most relevant to them.
You're on the right track.
Okay.
But it's still crucial to make sure the content is relevant,
mm-hmm,
engaging,
right,
and presented in a way that respects their time.
Okay.
Gen X learners are quick to call out BS or tune out if they feel like a training program is wasting their time.
Noted. Okay, now, for the generation everyone seems to be talking about, millennials.
Right.
They're the digital natives who grew up with the internet at their fingertips.
Right.
What do we need to know about them as learners?
Millennials tend to be highly collaborative.
Okay.
Tech savvy and eager for feedback.
Okay.
They value a learning experience that's interactive.
Okay.
Engaging and, right, personalized.
So things like gamification. social learning elements and mobile-friendly content would probably resonate with them.
You're getting the idea.
Okay.
They also tend to be accustomed to instant gratification and bite-sized pieces of information.
Okay.
So incorporating short modules, quick quizzes, and frequent feedback opportunities can be very effective for millennial learners.
Okay, so we've covered boomers, Gen X, and millennials.
Yeah.
What about the newest generation entering the workforce?
Okay.
Gen Z.
Right.
They're the ones who've never known a world without smartphones and social media.
True.
Gen Z is still somewhat of an enigma.
Yeah, it is early days.
But early research suggests they're even more tech-savvy and independent than millennials.
That seems to be the case.
They value authenticity, visual content, and learning that's aligned with their values.
It sounds like we need to step up our game even further.
That's a good way to put it.
Incorporating high-quality video content, interactive simulations, personalized learning paths, and opportunities to connect with real-world issues and causes will be key for engaging Gen Z learners.
Okay, so it's clear that generational differences play a huge role in how we design and deliver online training.
For sure.
But Adult Learning Basics also dives into something that's equally important, if not more so, cultural differences.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
The way people learn is deeply influenced by their cultural background.
Right.
And in today's globalized workplace, it's more important than ever to be sensitive to those differences.
So what are some practical tips for designing training programs that are inclusive and effective for a culturally diverse workforce?
The source material highlights the work of Geert Hofstede, who identified six dimensions of national culture that can significantly impact learning.
Six dimensions. That sounds a bit complex.
It can be.
Yeah.
But let's focus on a couple that are particularly relevant to our discussion.
Okay.
One is the dimension of power distance.
Okay, power distance.
This refers to how comfortable people are with hierarchy and authority.
So in some cultures, it's perfectly acceptable to question your boss or challenge the status quo.
Right.
While in others, it's seen as disrespectful.
Precisely.
Okay.
And this can have a huge impact on how people participate in training.
Right.
In a high power distance culture, learners might be hesitant to speak up, ask questions, or challenge the instructor, even if they're confused or disagree with something.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You'd need to create a learning environment that feels safe.
Right.
And encourages participation from everyone, regardless of their position in the hierarchy.
Exactly.
Another important dimension is uncertainty avoidance.
Yes.
This refers to how comfortable people are with ambiguity and risk taking.
So some cultures are more okay with going with the flow, while others need to have everything spelled out in detail.
That's a good way to put it.
In a high uncertainty avoidance culture, learners might prefer clear instructions, well-defined expectations, and predictable outcomes.
Okay.
They might feel anxious or uncomfortable with open-ended activities or situations where there's no single right answer.
So you'd want to avoid any surprises or ambiguity?
Right.
That might make them feel uneasy?
You might need to adjust your approach, yes.
Okay.
It's not about eliminating all uncertainty, but about providing enough structure and guidance to help learners feel comfortable and confident.
This is fascinating.
It is, yeah.
I had never really considered how these cultural dimensions could play such a big role in learning.
It's an area that's often overlooked.
Yeah. For sure.
But it's becoming increasingly important as our workplaces become more diverse and interconnected.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've explored the complexities of adult learning, from understanding how adults learn differently to tailoring training for different generations and cultures. We've even challenged ourselves to become better learners through metacognition.
Exactly.
What are some key takeaways for our listeners as they embark on designing and delivering their own online training programs?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is this. Adult learning is not a one-size-fits-all endeavor.
Okay.
It's about being thoughtful, intentional, and learner-centric in everything we do.
I love that.
Yeah.
Learner-centric. It's about putting the needs and experiences of the learners at the forefront of our design decisions.
Exactly. And that means taking the time to understand who our learners are, what motivates them, how they prefer to learn, and what challenges they might face.
Okay.
It's about creating engaging, relevant, and supportive learning experiences that empower adults to grow and thrive.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful.
It has.
And I hope our listeners are walking away with a renewed appreciation for the art and science of adult learning.
I hope so too.
And as you continue on your learning journey,
yeah,
always remember that you're an adult learner too.
It's easy to forget.
It is.
Never stop exploring.
Yeah.
Experimenting.
Right.
And striving to become the best learning facilitator you can be.
That's a perfect note to end on.
It is.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into adult learning.
Thank you.